Welcome back to Throwback Theater, the show that takes a look back at some overlooked and forgotten films from the 80s, 90s, and early aughts. Thank you for joining us. We are back. My name is Eric Lutz. I also have with me here Chris.
Hello, Eric.
And I have Lucas.
What's up?
Hey. And that's it. Lee is unfortunately sick because it's a shame because I think he picked this movie, right?
I think it was a consensus.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was initially supposed to be released on Thanksgiving Day.
Right.
But due to unforeseen circumstances involving the holiday and the death of the Green Ranger.
Yeah. Jason David Frank, I think, is his name.
We decided to postpone this episode a week and re-release the Power Rangers episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is less, I guess I should say, this is the Addams Family Values, which is, I think, the first time we've done a sequel to a movie we've done sequels. I know we did, like, Look Who's Talking 2, I think.
We did Halloween Town, too.
I guess we did do Halloween Town, too. Yeah, so... this season, though, doing some sequels. This is not as Thanksgiving-y as I think we all thought it was.
No, but it's a long kind of sequence that involves the holiday of Thanksgiving. So yeah, I think we're safe.
Yeah, I would call that in.
So there is a new Addams Family show out, just about Wednesday Addams, which I don't really plan on watching. But I did see like a scene. I guess they basically reference that. Basically, I think Wednesday gave another speech about Native Americans and genocide and that sort of thing in the show. That's basically all I saw. So who saw this growing up? Because I did not.
I did.
Wait, did you watch the first one?
Yes. No, I think I saw scenes from this on TV, but I never actually sat down and watched this, the whole thing.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that I talked about it when we covered the first movie. I got a lot of my memories mixed up between that one and this one, and I feel like rewatching this one, I like this one more.
Oh, I strongly disagree.
I agree with
strongly
you.
Do you like
disagree.
This one too
I
more?
Okay. No, this one, I thought this was like almost an insult. I was mad at
really?
The end of this, 100%.
Oh, I thought it was better.
Yeah, no, it did not like this one at all. I thought, although this one was just as successful, I don't know if to what degree, but it definitely made money. I think on a budget of around $50 million, it brought in over $100 million. So
I like the plot of this one more.
Oh, that's what loses it for me. There's
really?
Yeah, it's all over the place. It is. There's too much going on. It needed to be more focused.
Well, because they kind of like fracture the family, and you're following like three different storylines for a while.
Right. I think that there's too much there. But I think before we get to that, just to set it up, this is like our 100th Christopher Lloyd movie, I guess we've done.
He's definitely the top contender for persons that we've covered the most on this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, the man's good. What can we say about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know who the runner-up would be. A Tom Arnold? I don't know.
Maybe.
That's sad.
But this is all the original... cast from the original, I believe, except I think the grandmother
the
might
grandmother
be different.
Changed, yes, yeah. Carol Kane on this one.
Who, yeah. Carol, I love Carol Kane.
I'm blanking on her name. What's her name?
Cusack?
Joan Cusack. Yeah, is in this as well. And you're right, Lucas. She is looking all right in
this
movie.
She looks hot in that movie.
But yeah, everyone is back. And I think that this only came out 2 years after the original.
Yeah, I think this is 93.
Yeah,
is that right?
I think the first one was 91, so they really crank this out, and I personally think that it shows. And there's also a baby, Pubert. Now, although my memory of this movie is, I don't really have one. I might have mentioned this in the last time that my dad went as Halloween when my little brother was still a baby as Gomez and Pubert.
Your brother was Pubert.
My little
brother
adorable. Was Pubert.
Which brother?
Yeah.
AJ?
Yeah,
the young brother.
Yep.
Okay,
youngest brother. So do you guys have any like memories of this movie or anything like that? Did it stand out in any way?
I mean, I always remember the baby.
I remember the baby.
Like, the baby's always just put into the little situations in there, and he's always like goofy. And I do remember the camp Thanksgiving scene.
I think that's the only thing I really remember.
Those were the main things from this that I remember.
I am a turkey. Eat me.
I do love the camp counselors in this, which I don't remember them like from growing up. Mm-hmm. Like watching this, they are great.
Well, it's one of them is what's his name from Ghostbusters 2.
Yes. And the other one is also like she's in a bunch of movies
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know her name, but yeah, she's familiar. And
come
it
on,
also
guys.
Has
do research. Have some notes for Christ's sake.
No. Never.
It's Peter McNichol.
Okay.
And Christine Baranski.
Okay. Great. And we also have
the, those are the characters' names.
The kid who
or
plays
I'm sorry, the no, those are the actors' names. They're but they're married
see,
in the movie.
What is
they're,
the point of having your
Granger.
Phone if you're not gonna even read the fucking things right?
No, they're a married couple in the film and they run a summer camp together.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the Grangers.
Ah. Well, it also has the kid who goes on to play Bernard in the Santa Claus. And I see him pop up in things every now and then. I think he was on the show Numbers.
Is the guy with the glasses?
Yeah.
He's in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This
Tony Shalhoub is also in this
Tony
movie.
Tony Shalhoub is in this movie for one scene. And
he wasn't a star at this point.
I guess not.
Yeah, I don't think he hadn't even done the X-Files yet.
It is weird to see him pop up in
It is kind of funny.
Nathan Lane has a little cameo.
Nathan Lane is in this as well, which is...
Nathan Lane?
He's the desk sergeant at the police station.
Yeah.
I watched this movie now about 2 weeks ago when we were supposed to record this.
Yeah.
So some of the little details might have escaped.
That's how I am with Titan A, which Nathan Lane is also in. So,
he is.
Yeah.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. He's the voice of the one guy on the ship.
He might be the runner up to Christopher Lloyd.
Nathan Lane?
Yeah, I feel like.
Oh, he had Mouse Hunt.
I feel like he shows up in
some roles. I feel
like
this is like three at this point.
He shows up in some roles. Yeah, three. But three's pretty high. Three's not bad.
I feel Tom Arnold has way more at that point.
I think Tom Arnold only has two.
Only two?
Yeah, only two. Stupid and Mikhail's
Navy. Yeah.
Yeah.
At some point, I'll make Lee do it. He'll just have to compile a list and make an Excel sheet to see, like, what the votes were and, like, who's in the movies.
Since he's sick, has no voice, we elect him as democracies. Yeah. We all voted yes.
Yeah, he doesn't need a voice to listen to every episode we've ever done.
He just needs ears.
So, they are back, the Addams family, and this plot revolves around Joan Cusack, who is the nanny, who is out to get Fester's money, which is it set up previously that Fester has a bunch of money?
Yes, because in the first movie, that's how Gomez and his family get kicked out of the house. They realize that Fester is the oldest one and the fortune is his and not Gomez.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Because there's a baby that Wednesday and Bugsley are trying to murder all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. They go through some nannies. They land on this one who is very, you know, at first appearances, very sweet and good with kids. But it turns out she's the
Black Widow.
And she's on an episode of Unsolved. Well, there's actually a funny name for what the name of the show.
Again, 2 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
it's not Unsolved Mysteries. It's like Unsolved Horrible Murders.
Yeah. And she is, I guess, a serial killer who gets married to people and then...
murders them
and runs away and takes their money.
Well, somehow,
but not before also taking photographs of her in the act of her crime,
which she must set up cameras elsewhere with like timers because she has a slideshow. And I watch this with a hand and she's like, how did she get this picture? It is a picture of her with like an axe with the shadow. We're like, you must have set this up beforehand.
Spider-Man does it all the time. Peter Parker can get photos of Spider-Man doing stuff. It's great.
Is she maybe Spider-Man? Does she know Spider-Man?
Dun, dun, dun.
We don't know. Kids are sent off to summer camp.
Wednesday and Pugsley.
Yes.
By the nanny.
Pretty much. And the nanny and Fester do get married.
They do.
This is just a very quick summary. And she tries to kill him a few times, but can't, is unsuccessful because he's an Adam. So he has like a kind of quasi
somewhat immortality.
Because even at the end, when she's going to electrocute the whole family, I'm like, I don't think this is going to work.
I think that they are just like, they only can only die from that from old age. I think this
I
is
guess.
It.
Yeah. We don't know.
And real old. Cause grandma is, up there.
Yeah. So and that's kind of it, right? That's all like the major beats, except for
the plot points. The main driving force of the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Should we get into the issues I had, or do you guys want to talk about other things?
No,
first?
You can go into your issues.
I like the idea of giving the kids a little bit more screen time and kind of making them the main characters, but there's like three elements going on. And I just feel like one of them needed to be eliminated. So there's there's Fester and the deadly nanny. Yeah. Joan Cusack. And then there's the summer camp stuff. And then there's the baby. And juggling between those three things, everything seemed quick. Some of the stuff, it seems really irrelevant. The summer camp stuff, although I liked it, probably needed to go.
It's probably my favorite.
It was irrelevant. It could have been done anywhere. Plus, it's supposed to be the whole summer, and it just flies by. There's also, do you guys notice there's like four shots in this movie that are horribly out of focus?
I did not.
Oh, how did you not? It was so, like, even Hannah was like, look at that. Yeah, it seems like they just made this movie as fast as possible.
Well,
like it seemed very lazy in my opinion.
The time jump from the summer camp, it makes sense because the other people are getting married. There's a lot going on, sure, even with the family. So the gap of the 3 months of summer,
it
do work out.
It seemed more like it could have been a week, 2 weeks. Like, it seemed like they got married, honeymoon for a week, and then they're back and they move into her big house, which is a mansion. How did she? Okay. I guess because she steals the money from other people. So
at this point, she has like four dead rich husbands. Yeah.
But she has a mansion and a bunch of nice stuff, but she still wants Fester's money again.
Well, those
or
are just
Fester buy the house.
Cause she runs out of money.
She just,
she eats
money.
Through the money. And then that's when she goes and finds another victim to marry, murder, and then take their fortune.
But part of her plan is to blow up her house.
I think that's only at the very end when she tried 3-4 times to kill Fester and he can't kill her. She can kill him.
She tries to electrocute him in a bathtub, then she tries to poison him.
Yes, and he just keeps surviving. So the last time
is
he
there one after that, or is the next one the bomb?
I think the next one is the bomb.
I was like, when he guesses it, because she wraps it as like a birthday present. Oh, he's like, what is it? Is it a bomb? She's like, what?
He's like, I'll wait. I mean, he's really good in this, and I was like, I need to be Fester for Halloween next year.
Oh, yeah, you should.
Yeah, and Hannah was going to be Joan Cusack's character.
I support this.
Yeah, we just got to remember for a whole year, which
so you did love it.
I did not say that.
I like that this movie opens with Fester howling at the moon.
Yeah.
On the roof of the Adams house.
Yeah, there's definitely moments in this movie that I thought were charming, but overall I just felt like this is a lazy written movie. It seemed like they did not take a lot of time in any aspect of it.
Every time Christina Ricci is like on screen, I'm just like, man, is she killing it? Oh, she's
no,
so
no pun intended.
Good. No pun intended. And Raul Julia. Like, this is what I felt like. They got into the stride from the first movie, and they were all just better at doing what they were doing.
I agree. I think that the characters are so much more well-developed on this.
They even give Thing more to do.
Yeah, the story is just like, it embraces these characters, and that's why, for me, like the movie really works, is because the characters feel very much alive. So every time that you're watching them do any of their kooky, gimmicky things, they're all nailing it. So like that, the weakness of it just kind of disappear because
my
it all
father's
blends
eyes.
In.
Gomez, get this out of his mouth.
Well, I think they're nailing it, but in my opinion, I thought they were all pretty one-dimensional. It's like, this is a sequel, and
I don't know. When he's in the police station, he's like, I have seen
the depths and
darkest parts of man's soul. I have seen horrors. And they're just kind of each of the family members like nodding their heads. And then Nate Lane just like has them arrested.
Yeah, that's not really what I'm talking about, though. That's not really any sort of.
Oh, and then he's dying.
Who's the main
and
character?
And the baby
in this
goes
movie?
Blonde.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who's the main character in this
I
movie?
Think it's just the Adams.
Okay.
I think it's them as a family. They're a unit.
Yeah, I think this is just like Little Miss Sunshine, that the family are the main characters.
What sort of change do they go through?
Well, Fester
do
has
they
a
have
change.
To?
Oh, now we don't have to go through a change?
Does Indiana Jones ever go through a change? Bond, Ripley.
I thought some of...
We can name multiple characters.
100% those people go through changes.
What is Indiana Jones changing the first movie?
I haven't seen Indiana Jones the first movie in 15 years. I don't know. I'd have to rewatch
15
it.
15 years?
Probably maybe
I
since
disagree.
College. Maybe
we've watched
10.
That in the cabin multiple times.
Not with me. Yeah, like I don't know. It seems like that sort of, in my opinion, that's something that we need in this movie. Like, I guess I thought Wednesday would have. So here's kind of what I thought, because we introduce a baby in this movie and it's pretty irrelevant.
What do you mean he saves the day?
Yeah, I guess. But what else does that have to do with? I mean, I like that scene because I really like when they're on the airplane and they see the baby in the window. I find that amusing. I don't understand what's
Wednesday
going on.
Wednesday and Pugsley also have their arc because now they also connect to the quote unquote normal people. And like they
Wednesday
have,
also gets a boyfriend.
She does.
Okay.
She embraces some of the normalcy in it.
When?
In the whole finale, when they're breaking away from the camp, and she has a little moment with the boy, that's like she's changing.
I don't think that she is. I don't think that we see that in any way. Yeah, I mean, she likes him, but that's because he likes her. Like, she doesn't, she feels a little bit more accepted, I guess, but I would not say that she embraces any sort of normalcy or anything. I still think that she very much rejects it. I mean, I guess I thought what this was setting up to be was that they as in Wednesday and Pugsley, were going to have to be in charge of the baby. Was that something happens?
As what, that the parents die?
No. Just, I don't know. That it was going to be Wednesday and Pugsley. Something happens where they are in charge of this baby and they know, I can't kill this baby. As much as I want to kill this baby, mom and dad have said that it's off limits, that we can't do that, and they'd be upset. So now we have to take care of this baby, this thing that I hate. And I thought that was going to be the story. I thought that's what they were setting up. And that was not it. They just really threw this tangent in of this summer camp, which it just seemed very, very irrelevant to me. That whole storyline of how this was related to the rest of the story.
Well, I think a part of it, okay, if you're looking for an overarching motif, it's that family is what matters. Because ultimately, at the beginning, the family gets fractured because Joan Cusack sends the kids away. Mm-hmm. She steals Fester from the family. She tells him he can't go back. And then without that, the family struggles and is literally, I guess, dying. Gomez is dying. The baby gets sick and converts into like a cute little like cherub looking baby. And so it's about the strength of family. And then so like, because at first there's that, you know, divisiveness with the new baby and Pugsley and Wednesday.
Sure.
But then through the course of the movie, the family comes together and they all love each other, and that's okay. That's just their sibling.
Well, so, I mean, I think that that story should have been a little bit more Wednesday centric, because I think that Gomez and Fester already have that bond, and Wednesday, when this new baby comes...
Right, but it's because of that bond that already exists that, like, him leaving them...
Breaks it all up?
Yeah, breaks, like, that's... When you say kills him, Gomez.
Oh, you mean Fester leaving
him. Sorry. Yeah. When Fester leaves, Gomez is, like, dying because of their bond.
Right. I think that should have been more Wednesday's story, and I think that would have been stronger with this baby. And I would have even liked if it was like, if she finds out very early on who Joan Cusack really is, and she does sort of, hint at it. She's like, knows that she's
up to
something.
The kids figure it out pretty easily.
Yeah. But even if they like, I don't know,
Serial killing trading cards, killer trading cards.
So. Yeah, I have two things to say on that. One, if it was like, all right, well, I'm just going to like, we're going to like kidnap you kids and have the baby involved. And now it's like the story of Wednesday taking care of this baby, trying to get to Fester instead of sort of just being in this summer camp.
I wouldn't have minded if Joan Cusack kidnapped the baby and then, like Pugsley and Wednesday had to like ultimately save it.
But the thing is not about the baby.
No, it's not.
But that could have been a vehicle for Wednesday to be like, okay, no, I do actually like it's really sets her up. I'm going to kill everything. I'm so fucking dark, but I have this one thing and that's this baby. And through that, I'm learning to accept my family, love my family more. Yeah.
Did you guys spot the director?
No.
I don't know who the director is to really Barry pay Sonnenfeld. Attention to him.
He's one of the parents in the back. I think he's the parent of Wednesday's boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
But he's one of he turns the bench and they fall backwards. He's the glasses on.
There are a lot of levers at that scene. That kid just goes around and is like pulling levers and
things
are happening.
Hey, those kids prepped, man.
Yeah, they did.
All the outcasts.
I just one other little note, and then we can talk about like the summer camp Thanksgiving scene. Was I kind of thought that Wednesday would first sort of like her as a serial killer, because Wednesday is sort of dark, be like, oh, like, you kill all your husbands, that's great, that's what I want to do too, you know what I mean?
But at the end, I love it, because it's like, oh no, I don't respect her because she was sloppy, like, I wouldn't have gotten caught, and I would have just been better at this than you are. Well, I like that.
I think that it could have been a thing where she sort of looks up to her at first, because they do sort of opposite sides of the same coin sort of thing, but she learns that, like, okay, no, I wouldn't do that. Like, I have my limits and that's my family, or that's something like that. Like, I wanted to see them sort of head to head a little bit more, and that's not what we got. But definitely, I think the scene that everyone remembers, and probably, I mean, my favorite scene is, of course, the Thanksgiving scene at the summer camp.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It is pretty great.
Yeah, it still definitely holds up.
I think everything in the summer camp is, like, the two actors or the camp counselors are hilarious.
I can't swim.
When the one kid's like, oh, I just want to sit here and read, and they just opens the door, it's like, not on my watch, four eyes, and just takes the
he's reading, like, Stephen Hawking's book.
Yeah. And they just make them watch Disney movies for, like, 12 straight hours.
Just stuck them in the one cabin. It's like, yeah, if you want to be better kids, like, this is how we do it. It's like, again, it's a great little commentary. Like, yeah, just, like, watch these Disney
and
kids.
They're constantly and reminded, like, yes, for, like, upper-class privileged children. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
What's the girl's name? That's kind of the bully at the camp.
The bitch,
Samantha.
Mercedes.
Ooh, oh, okay. Of course it is.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Amanda Buckman is the character's name.
And she was
Mercedes
good.
McNabb is
she
the
was good. She was a good antagonist to Wednesday.
Was.
What else? So they try to go swimming. They do archery, and Pugsley shoots a bald eagle. And then they do the play. What am I forgetting?
I mean, there's the little thing that the kid trying to read, and then they try to escape the one time.
Oh, yeah. There's a weird moment in the camp, and this is sort of maybe just, it seems like they cut out some stuff. They're on a bench talking to each other, and then it cuts to them, still nighttime, in, like, a classroom. I was like, I got your note. Like, what did you want to talk about? And she was just like, meet me somewhere else tomorrow. And I kind of paused it after that, and I was like, why are these two separate scenes? Like, what is it? It just seemed like that there was a big something that they cut out there. Did you guys pick up on that at all? It seems weird to have two characters. It's like exterior, nighttime, these two characters. The very next scene, exterior, nighttime, these two characters, but in a different location with eight lines of dialogue. It seems like they forgot something and threw it in, like, in post or in secondary or something like that.
I don't remember that.
Okay. Yeah, it threw me off. But anyway, back to the Native American pilgrim scene. So they get her to smile, which I thought was great, and it scares all the campers. They think that she's on board. She's going to be Pocahontas. And instead they legitimately burn down the entire set.
And the camp. Just the camp is, oh, yeah, is a whole.
Yeah. It's a whole riot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gives a speech about genocide. And they terrorize the parents, and I thought they legitimately murdered that girl, and it only isn't until we later see her
on the plane. You kind of don't even notice her at first, but yes, because it cuts away to her just holding the matches.
Yeah, and she's tied up to a post with they have gasoline around her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty great. What else? What do you guys like, or anything like that? It's a little bit harder to talk about a sequel because we've already talked about sort of the cultural impact of the Addams Family and that sort of thing.
And the nuance of the whole thing.
Yeah, so we don't necessarily need to go into that as much.
I mean, my one point to what you dislike about the movie is the fact that the character change, the same way that for me, again, like when I watch Indiana Jones or James Bond, I don't need the character change because, like, they are stock characters. Like, they are almost like cartoon characters. And especially the Addams Family are straight up cartoon characters.
Mm-hmm.
They were like a from a strip that they don't, it's pretty much like watching an episode of TV that the, again, like from normal TV, none of the era of like new TV,
like prestige TV. You're talking about, like, oh, it's Rocket Scooby-Doo.
Yes,
Scooby-Doo hasn't changed.
It is the
Scooby-Doo
fact,
is
like
Scooby-Doo.
You mm-hmm. get the, and the change happens within the one episode, but then they go back to the normal.
Well, that's TV. That's very different.
I disagree. I think for these characters, it's the same thing. Like when you watch, even like again, like the Scooby-Doo movie. Actually, no, the Scooby-Doo movie they do a little change on the characters there, but they did change the whole core of the characters. But the idea here is that when you end this, you just want to have the same characters. They just go through an adventure, and then whenever you do a third movie, you can just have the same characters just go to a different adventure, but you still have who they are, what they like, how they are. And then you can just get through them through trials and tribulations, and then they get to the end. and they overcome these trials and tribulations, but they don't have to change.
Well, I disagree, because I feel like that is sort of the format of a lot of TV shows, but I think in world of movies that's a different formula. And I think that this same thing that you're saying it applies to, you know, a movie like Senior Trip, like something that you were no one changes, nothing happens, and now we have this happening, and you're like, well, no one needs to change, nothing. It just seems like I think you like the movie, and that's okay. I liked elements of the movie too, but I totally disagree with having characters change. I think that there needs to be something with it. And
if you want to compare about Senior Trip,
yeah.
The discussion. I know you're trying. You know, you're trying to push a Senior Trip being a movie that is relevant.
Well, I'm saying that
and it's not. The fact is that movie
we have done movies on this show, a blank canvas of everything.
They could be anything.
Example, Lucas, yes. That was no, okay. One example. But we have done a lot of movies.
But let's go with that example.
Show.
Let's go with that example
sure,
right now.
Sure.
It is the fact that Senior Trip has a blank canvas of characters mm-hmm. that they can do. Anything with them, and they can be anything that they want to be, and they can change into anything that they want to be, because there is no nothing before or after this.
So your argument is because these characters were pre-established characters that you don't need them to change.
In this particular situation, yes, I don't think that you need them to have a glorified change that they become a whole new person.
I don't need them to become a whole new person. I just want them to learn something about themselves. That's it.
Yeah. I still think that they can make it so much stronger. This is not the argument here. Mm-hmm. This can be stronger for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that you need to have a life-changing situation for these characters because they are cartoons.
So because they were pre-made characters that they're okay with that.
That they are stock characters, that they already have an established history to them, that like you want to, because you're creating a whole series of them. So it is a fact that like you
are they though?
Yeah, I mean this is a sequel to it. Senior Trip is a original movie.
Okay, so if there was a sequel to Senior Trip, or if it was based off
when
a cartoon,
you watch the first
like,
Addams
okay.
Family, do they change?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So again, they change, they mm-hmm. evolve to something else. Now mm-hmm. they're creating a sequel to it that they don't necessarily want them to change. They just want them to go through an adventure so then they can set up a third one, and then you can just go to the same thing.
I'm really not following your logic there. But
a lot of sequels, the reasons why they fail is because they never try to do anything necessarily, because you still want that character. They all need to survive. They all need to do this so you can do a third one of it.
Okay.
So when you're creating the story, they don't necessarily have to have a life-changing situation for them, because they can grow gradually, because you just need a little change.
Right, but there's not even a gradual sort of change in this.
I'm going to read you guys something real
Yes,
quick.
Please.
This is the beginning of it.
Yeah. Get us off this.
This was Roger Ebert's review.
Okay.
And I feel like it's a balance of what you both just said.
Okay.
This is how he starts his review, right? Oh, no. The screen... Rose, move! Okay, there we go. Isn't he a lady killer? The sexy young nanny says when she first meets Fester, the long-lost brother in the Addams Family. Acquitted, Gomez corrects. And we are back again with the upside-down world of the Addams, who find solace in sadism, cheer, gloom, pride, and boasting that their little son has been given probation. They live in a one-joke universe arrived at by embracing the mirror images of all respectable values. But the good news is, this time, I found the joke funnier than the original, the Addams Family. So we like the sequel more. It's the rare sequel that is better than its original, and yet Addams Family Values qualifies.
Wait, can I pause you just for a second? Because I've read that a lot. I think the IMDb score is higher.
Let me
go a little
further. Nothing much seems to have changed. The stars are about the same. The director is still Barry Sonnenfeld. The Addams Mansion still towers above the blasted heath next to a graveyard. Maybe I liked it more than the original because I was in a different mood? ? I like that. Perhaps knowing I was going to see twee little Macaulay Culkin in The Nutcracker right after seeing this film, I was in the mood for macabre bad taste, or perhaps the screenplay contained more invention of the 1921 effort. So he's saying like they built on it, which I agree. It involves not one but three subplots, all of them funny, and one of them about the birth of a new baby boy, the source of one great sight gag after another, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, we didn't talk about the doctor either.
The doctor.
Did you guys notice who the doctor was in the delivery room?
Oh, in the
he's also a repeat actor from the pod.
Oh, from the pod.
Been on the pod. He's been the voice. I don't think he's been in a live action, but he has been the voice of a character.
Hmm. Doug Jones?
It was David Hyde Pierce.
Oh, okay.
Also, I was going to say Doug Jones might be our second most in this movie, in this whole thing.
Wait, he's
seen two of this, and he's in The Kangaroo, and I'm sure he's in a bunch of other ones that we've done as a stunt person. But
Who plays Lurch?
The guy from Twin Peaks.
Giant. Okay,
the fireman.
Yeah, you're right. He's great.
Who shows up in things, but he's the only one I think who is in the third movie.
Wait, there's a third one of these?
Yes, but
Tim Curry, right?
Yes, Tim Curry plays Gomez, and I think it was direct to video.
I had no idea. Okay.
I'm trying to
Is everyone else in the movie? I know Tim Curry plays Gomez once, and
I don't think there's anyone who returns. Adam Family Reunion? Ooh,
Because isn't it Catherine Zeta-Jones as...
Oh, Daryl Hannah is Morticia.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is Morticia now.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Louis the guy who plays Thing is back playing Thing.
Doug Jones?
Okay. I know it's Christopher Hart is his name.
He has a great hand.
But that's it. Those are the only returning actors for that one, and that is not a well regarded film.
Nah. Well, I do like seeing, I like the essence of the Addams Family. I like to see I like Cousin It was back, and there's a Cousin It baby. there's a lot of little clips.
And also Cousin It's wife.
Yeah.
It's also returning, and it's the same actress from the first movie.
Which there's also, I know I talked about in the other movie, there's a cousin who has a humpback, and his name is Humpty or something. I forget.
Did we talk about who plays Cousin It?
No, who plays Cousin It?
It's the guy from Children of the Corn
Isaac?
It's Isaac from Children of the Corn is Cousin It in
That's
both
great.
Movies.
I had no idea.
In the animated movie, it's Snoop Dogg.
What, in the animated movie, it's Snoop Dogg?
Does he speak?
Yeah,
but it's just Snoop Dogg doing that. It's when George Clooney was the dog in South Park. I love that.
That's awesome. And there's a lot of quips, and I wish I would have written them down more because there's a lot more sex in this movie than I would have thought, and a lot more innuendo and stuff like that.
I love the tango scene.
Scene. Yeah, damn. There's even when she's I'm a virgin, and he's me too. What is that? And it's their wedding night, and she's just, I can't remember what she's saying, but it's
well, there's one point where she's getting frustrated. She's like, have you really never had sex before? And he's like, no. She's like, well, then how do you know we're not having sex right now?
There's things, there's definitely moments I enjoy, and I do enjoy the moment when he's in the big bathtub. Cause it was just at that moment I took a bath, right before watching this and right before that scene, I was like, I should be Fester for Halloween next year, and then that scene came on,
and I'm around with a light bulb in your mouth.
Exactly, and Hannah's like, "That is you." I'm like, "Damn it,
I like it."
But she tries to murder him in the bathtub by throwing in a radio, and it doesn't kill him. He just then has a light bulb in his mouth.
That's I talked about the Fester game.
Yes,
when we did the first one. That's clearly what it's referencing. So I guess it was from Values.
I can probably get a light bulb that lights up by itself, right? It's 2022.
You can probably find a battery-operated light bulb, I'm sure.
Yeah,
It can't be that hard.
I just need to get some really broad, some giant shoulders.
Yeah.
He
wears that, weird, his body looks so strange because it's just that long trench coat, but he's clearly wearing, a bodysuit under it.
Oh, yeah,
which makes him look like a turtle.
There's a weirder frame.
Yeah.
On his shoulders, too.
You know what? We just did the rebroadcast the Power Rangers episodes, and I think he's doing the same thing as Zordon. He's got the pale white bald face, and he has he looks like he's wearing
Christopher.
A nut sack.
Oh, you're saying the guy who is, you're saying Zordon, the character, is reminiscent of Uncle Fester. Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of the same thing. And I do like when they put him in a suit, and he just looks even worse. And he has the wig on.
Did you guys notice one thing I thought was funny is every time they cut to Angelica Houston delivering a line, it's a solo shot. And they always have
the light.
It's a beam of light going across her eyes. It's so
funny.
She's
sometimes walks into it.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's a good continuing
They even
gag.
Do that on the duo shots, which is never just as prominent, but every time that you see her, the light is always it's a great little funny thing to
I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah.
This is in the
Did we talk about how the baby has a mustache?
Baby's got a little mustache.
I feel that's important. Did we mention that?
No, we have not.
Okay.
Yep. Little mustache.
That's the whole gag.
Not a Hitler mustache when
mustache.
It's a Gomez mustache.
Gomez mustache.
In the beginning, Wednesday and Pugsley are dropping the baby and a bowling ball off the roof because they're which one's going to hit the ground first? And the baby gets caught by Gomez, and Lurch, who's downstairs cutting roses or whatever, gets hit in the bowling ball and doesn't react
at all.
Fun
fact, second movie we've done where someone gets hit in the head with a bowling ball.
Flubber.
Flubber indeed.
My first thought was actually Mouse Hunt, but I'm like, no, I think they get hit in the head with other things. Yeah, lots of other things in that movie.
They get concussions from different objects.
Yeah. And what else?
They give Lurch a little bit more to do in this, which I like. I like the sequence where Gomez is throwing at the dartboard, and it's just Lurch holding the dartboard, and he is constantly moving it so he's not like getting hit in the face and the crotch.
Yeah, and it's bouncing off things and stuff like that. I'm trying to think of other things with the baby, because I feel like we just don't see the baby enough.
Well, the baby has its big scene at in the climax where it's that's what I'm crawling. It uses one of its knives from the nursery to saw through the wall and then crawl around and eventually make its way up to the attic where it
lands on a skateboard or something. And then
not a skateboard. The bowling ball gets out with the baby and then is rolling around and like inadvertently through what the bowling ball does and where the baby sits manages to like springboard.
Yeah.
The baby up through the skylight
into almost hitting a plane.
Correct.
And I do
comes
like
back
that scene
down into the attic
because they're just looking out a window in an airplane. They just see a baby pop up for a second. Just,
and then the baby murders, Joan Cusack.
Yeah, which don't think about that much because they're all tied up to
chairs. Which I love that they each have their own specific electric chair. Like even Thing has one for like, it's just small enough for a hand. And I'm like, these were just here.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
It's like, but she flips the switch. We follow the electricity through a cable, but at the end of the cable, it's cut and he picks up another cable and the baby and connects it, but it goes back to Joan Cusack, who's standing on a wire.
Well, she's holding on to the switch.
Oh, right. That's what it is. And I was like, I'm just not going to think about that.
Nope.
She
turns to literal a pile of dust. Yes. So, yeah, don't think about it too hard. Oh, my God. Wait, we didn't talk about my other favorite bits. So when Fester announces he's getting married, they have a bachelor party for him.
Oh, yeah,
and
I love that, too.
And then they're like, all right, I got one more surprise for you. And they wheel in the cake, and he's like, ta-da! And nothing happens. He's like, I said, ta-da! And then he opens the top of the cake, and it's just smoke coming out. And he looks at her, he's like, oh, that poor girl. Lurch, was she inside when you baked the cake? And he's, c'est la vie! Everyone goes, ah!
Yeah, everyone's like, ah, whatever.
She knew what she signed up for.
How does the movie end? So she dies. And then what?
There's not much more after Jones. The family, the extended family shows up again, right? Because there's something with Cousin It. They have another kid?
Yeah,
I think there's a party thing.
There's a party. Oh, it's a birthday party. But also there's a woman who shows up.
Oh, yeah, because it's like...
Is like the female version of Fester.
Right, yeah.
And, what's her name? It's...
Oh, man.
It's sociopath.
It's dementia.
Dementia.
Yeah,
she's like, that means crazy. Yeah,
it's
a beautiful name.
I'm Fester. It means to rot.
Yeah. And they're just clearly horny for each other. Yeah.
And then we also see Wednesday's little boyfriend.
He comes back. Who's also wearing a Gomez mustache.
Yeah. And then it ends because they're in the graveyard. Yeah. And she talks about killing him. I can't really remember.
Well, she's talking because he's like, oh, I feel sorry
for her.
Joe Cusack. Because her gravestone is out in the backyard.
Yeah.
And Wednesday's like, I don't. Like, she was sloppy. Like, if I was going to kill him, I would do it and get away with it. And then
it would like scare them to death.
Would scare them to death.
Yeah.
And then it ends with her scaring maybe her boyfriend to death? Question.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I didn't quite put it together that it was just. It's obviously Thing, like it's just the hand there. But like the first time I saw the movie as a child, I was like, Joan Cusack's back, I guess. Huh. And at the time, I also didn't know it was like an homage to Carrie. So now I'm like, oh, I understand all of this.
It all works.
Hand drives a car in this movie.
I love that sequence. I think it's so fun.
So confused by that.
Because he saves Fester at one point, which Thing is like just goes on his own little mission to like rescue Fester. Which is when Joan Cusack pulls out a gun, eventually just going to shoot him to death because nothing else has worked so far.
Right. I mean, I do like, I did like that bomb. Like that made me laugh when he was like, is there a bomb in here? Oh, wait. I mean, Christopher Lloyd nails this again. Like,
killing it.
Have we ever done a movie where we've like, Christopher Lloyd didn't do, I would say maybe the summer camp one.
Nowhere, but I like him in that.
I like him in that too.
I think he's great.
I don't think, I've never seen a Christopher Lloyd performance where he like phoned it in.
Right.
Even if I know it's an overused expression. I feel like Christopher Lloyd always gets the assignment. He's like, yeah, I know what I'm here to do. I know what I'm supposed to, like, I get it. And he does it. And he just always nails it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree.
That man a fucking Oscar. He's in so many good things. I mean, he's Roger Rabbit. He's Doc Brown. Yeah. I mean, he's not Roger Rabbit, but
right, yeah.
He's in Roger Rabbit. you got Back to the Future. You've got Adam's Family. Oh my God! Like, just give him an Oscar.
Has he ever won an Oscar?
No, I don't know if he's ever been nominated. I don't think so. Not to my knowledge.
I mean, he only makes mostly comedy, so
yeah,
they don't nominate.
Yeah,
that.
Albert Brooks gets nominated sometimes. They're comedies,
highbrow comedies.
Well, it's a little early, but let's get into some ratings because we're minus Lee, so I feel like it's all right to end it a little bit early. So we're not doing pumpkins anymore, although it feels relevant. Do you have a Christmas sort of thing that you want to do?
Well, this
isn't
a Christmas. I mean, this is gonna be
this is gonna come out in
December. No,
yeah,
snowflakes at that point.
Yeah,
snowflakes. Or snowman.
Snowflakes. Snowflakes.
I would give it negative
on
snowflakes.
On a scale of
snowflakes.
That's a proud boy. One scale of spectrum. I don't know. I don't have a holiday one. Because we're not. I don't think we're. I think we kind of decided we're not going to do a slew of holiday movies.
No,
we might just do one.
Yeah, we'll do. Yeah, one or two. But yeah.
I mean, yeah, the next one is also not going to be a holiday one.
No, I know. And then I think it's only three more, and that's the end of the year. So yeah. Anyway, does anyone want to give their negative 5 to 5 review?
Sure. I was going to give this, I'm going to give it a 2.
Okay.
I liked it. I don't love it, but I liked it. I liked it more than the first one. I think I gave the first one a 2, and that's why I feel like I was like, oh, so I want to give this a 3. I don't know. I think this movie is really enjoyable. The cast, they're so good. And it's like an upgrade because you get Carol Kane now.
Yeah.
And I think I was like, oh, that's just better.
She's more in the movie funnier. Than the
definitely give the grandmother more to do because it's Carol Kane. So like they give her a bunch of one liners where it's like, oh, is it true that like I was like, oh, kids, why do you hate the baby? Do you think that like because there's a new baby we have to kill one of you? And it's like, yes. It's like and it's like, oh, not anymore. I'm like, I love her. She's great. So yeah, all around the 2, I think this is like a step up. It's a shame they didn't get to make a like finite trilogy with this cast and the director.
Yeah, this is because
the third one would have
Julia's last movie.
Yeah. Oh, is this the last one? Not Street Fighter. I think Street Fighter.
I mean, he
probably filmed Street Fighter, but this because
he was like dying, like during the filming of Street Fighter. Like I know he had like pretty serious terminal cancer at that point.
Wikipedia said this was his last movie, but
it might be
knows what that means. Yeah.
Yeah. Or that one probably had a longer post production. Okay. This was maybe his last one released. Too bad, because he's so great in this.
Yeah. So that's a 2 on the board.
It's a 2 on the board. Adam's Family Values.
Okay.
There you are.
Do you want me to go, Lucas, or would you like to go?
I can go.
Okay.
That way you can balance it out if you want to.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll give it a 2. I agree with Chris. I think that the... I appreciate the evolution of the characters here. I think they're all more complete, more whole, and the jokes lend more. And I like the breakdown of the storylines. I think it gives them more to do, and we can see them being a little bit more without the family and how they need the family a little more, which I think helps the story go through. And I agree. I think it would have been great to watch a final third one. Of this, it might have given you the closure that you wanted over this, because I think it would have been more of a full story here, even though I don't think it was all planned. But yeah, I think that this movie kind of still it nails even more the Addams Family style jokes and humor, and I think that's why I really enjoy it. I like the whole characterization of them works for me.
Wait, did you give it a number?
2.
2. Okay. We got 2 2s. I'm going to give this movie a negative one, a soft negative one. In that, my sort of negative ones are not something you want to seek out, but if it's on, you're not going to have the worst time with it. I do think that there's strong, fun characters. I think that there's fun moments, but I think that overall as a movie, it's not very strong, and I don't like the the stories, I guess, that they're all on, or the paths, I guess, that they take throughout this movie. It feels very disjointed to me, not very cohesive. It's not the worst thing ever. There's definitely some good moments to it, but I don't think that this is one. And I think also for me, I have no nostalgia really for any of these movies. So when I first saw the first Addams Family, I was very pleasantly surprised. I was like, oh, how have I not watched this more? This is like, this really good. And I was looking forward to watching this, and I feel like it did not reach the expectations that I thought it would be. So we got two twos and a negative one, and we can only assume what Lee would give.
5.
Or 10.
Yeah.
Lee, who has not watched this movie. It's only been, you know, 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks since we decided.
Sick. Quote-unquote sick.
Yeah. So who's your favorite Adam family member?
Favorite Adam's family? Well, I like Fester. I mean, Wednesday does a good job for this. Those two.
Yeah, but you have to choose one of them.
Okay.
And you got to get a tattoo. Who's it going to be?
Well, I'm going to get a tattoo of Fester with light bulb on my
back. Yes. Yeah. Okay, good call. Lucas?
The Thing.
Thing? I was leaning towards the Thing.
My butt.
It's going to look like someone slapping your ass.
Yeah.
I can afford with that. I also like Cousin It a lot.
Yeah, Cousin It's good. You could get baby Cousin It.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Deep cut tattoo.
What if you got it like over, like Cousin It, like over your pubes? Like,
wow. But with like the binky in its mouth?
Yeah.
Which would make everyone uncomfortable when they saw my genitals.
Like, so. What is that? And you'd be like, he's related to pubert. Yeah. That's what we call the Thing. Any other final thoughts or anything like that?
I don't think so. If you're going to have to make an Addams Family cocktail, what would it be?
Dry ice, a little bit of arsenic, cheer
wine. Just enough to make your lips go numb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of absinthe to kill the arsenic.
Yeah, I was thinking absinthe, something weird like that. Like, it would be some like Romanian liquor that like we don't even have here. Shasta cola. It has to be like a really bad off-brand cola.
I like this.
We only make it with cherry Shasta.
Perfect. Beautiful.
I don't think anyone can beat that.
No, I think you nailed it. I might just ask Eric to come up with a cocktail now for every movie that we do and just like incorporate that to the end of the episode.
I can do that.
Yeah. Let him. He's like the, you know, the brewmaster. So
I'm excited. We are going to write them out and post it on our page.
That would actually be a very fun thing to do. Theater. Yeah.
I mean, I could retroactively do that. I mean, Mikhail's Navy would be an easy one.
Oh,
just rum and, rum and sherbet.
Well, I feel like it's not bad. I was always going to say, what's the blue Curaca? Something like that. But okay.
Well, no, they drink a Mikhail's ale throughout that movie because he like brews it himself. So, you know, that be rum in a Mikhail's ale. That's like a weird Boilermaker.
I think that would be funny.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you stick around for the trailer for next week's movie. Find us on social media stuff, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Defense shields have been penetrated. Enemy warships have entered Earth's solar system. Deploy the last wave of fighters. Taking heavy fire!
Final warning. Prepare for thermal attack.
Evacuate! Launch remaining escape craft!
Without a planet, we're no longer a threat.
Hey, it's me, it's Kale.
Humans. Wait.
The Titan was the key to finding a new homeworld. Your father hid the Titan. He knew the Dredge would come after him. The only way to find it is in your hand.
Me?
The Dredge wants you, only dead.
How do you know they want me dead?
Go!
I happen to be humanity's last great hope.
I weep for the species.
Titan AE.